6B, you monitoring?
PM.
Yeah, you sound a little bit more clear.
Hold on 1 second. That still sound just as good?
Roger that.
Now my handheld is going to cool down a little bit. I can feel it when it puts out that power. It warms up.
No, Roger, I just took mine down to about 5. Oh, that's the lowest I could go.
I'm going to see how far I was from that Anderson repeater. I'm going to pull it up here in just a second.
Hey, where you at?
790. 1 mile for me, which isn't too bad. Hey, at all. It says 21.1 miles for the Anderson repeater. But then it says 21.5 miles for... that's so weird. For the 610, I know it's not that far. If you give me 1 second, I know exactly how far it is to the 610 machine.
Yeah, well, the 610 repeater is up at Caesar's Head.
Coordinates for that save my distance. So I am 12.4 miles from that Caesar's Head repeater.
Yeah, roger that. You extra general or technician?
Well, you got portable. That 7-9's up on Sassafras.
Where you been? I ain't heard you in a while.
Just listening around. I hadn't heard you on a lot lately either.
After that, you kind of dropped out right there at the end of it.
I might be time for me to change the battery pack. Just stand by and let me switch packs. KI4 LCI portable.
KK4 HXB.
Any noise on my end at all? Everybody sounds like right next to me, KJ4WZM and KK4HXB. I'm a general class.
Roger that. Myself, working on the extra, but, you know, I kind of think that just have to play with it and start studying.
Study material.
KK4RQO, Lord, y'all are quick keying tonight. I'm in here on the Echolink because I think there is something up with that repeater because I am not. So I'm just going to talk to you off the Echolink.
5-9+, you sound like you're in the next room. Hey, where the see the switch of batteries?
Roger, roger. And the other station there, I tell you, I got a buddy of mine over in Virginia. I'm going to give him a holler tomorrow. He's got a TS-2000 he had modified, and if you'd like, I can try and get y'all hooked up, and he can walk you through it, or at least tell you how his was done or whatever.
That'd be great. He could get him my contact information and everything. I could give you my number or my email address, either one. And I'd love to get in contact with him and find out about it, because if I could run one radio in that truck that does absolutely everything, I would rather do that. Got all the antennas and stuff and just have one radio than fool with all kinds of other radios and make the dash look cluttered.
So here's some from my family of hands.
Andy, you kind of got a lot of white noise there.
High signal night.
No, it's not good. Yeah, roger that. Yeah, you got a lot of white noise and you way out there.
Like a loose antenna connection, if you ask me, because you come and go abruptly. It kind of sputters. It's not like just plain white noise. So I think you got some loose connection or something. You sound better before you change batteries, to be honest.
Get Richard another text. Tell him we all in rag chewing. I said you need to get in here.
Check. KI4LCI portable.
All better, Andy. 100%. I'm talking longer to make sure not doubling now that everybody's here. So So all better, Andy, 100%. And, Andy, if you could come back to me, is that repeater dead center on Sassafras? Is that, like, on that tower that's up there at the top of the mountain inside, the observation area? Because there, there's a tower up there that's got antennas on it.
Not on the observation tower, but it's not that far from it, though.
Check it out, right? There's some sort of tower thing that has antennas on it. It's not on the observation deck, but it's like a couple, few hundred feet from it.
KI-4LCI-45D. That observation tower up there was just built, I guess, over the past few 3 or 4 years. The repeater building at that 79's inn up there has been up there ever since, of all things, 1979.
Matches the 790. That's neat. All right, cool. Good to know that. I'm going to plug in the repeater's location. I'm going to look this up on satellite so I don't misconstrue where it's at. But I'm going to plug in this location here. That way I can save it on my map and go back to it later and find out how far I am from the repeater and stuff like that.
That's that repeater site of the 79 on a number of occasions, as well as this one here. So it's been up there quite a while, that up there, because it was the second 2-meter repeater I picked up here when it went on the air in 79.
A long time before I was born.
Where I'm at here, yeah, that was before you was born. And I didn't have a license back then, but that's when I got started first listening here on ham bands back in, I got my first receiver in Christmas of 1976. This machine here went on in 73. I picked this one up first, and in 79 they built that tire they got, which is a block building down under it, and it went on there in 79. And that was the second one I picked up here.
Let's see, 73, my dad was 13 and my mom was 4. So 79, my dad was 19 and my mom was 10.
Well, just go ahead and pick it up. I didn't mean to come in here and monopolize it, but I've been aware of Daniel for quite a while, and even for quite a while, because he comes from a family of hams down at Simpsonville.
Yeah, you coming in just as clear as a bell there.
The pack, like I said, has got to be recharged here. It's near as a freight one. I just had to get everything right, but I've been listening, Daniel, here for quite some time, and that I was doing when I first started listening. On the receiver, I was, in 79, I was in middle school.
Well, you were interested in radios for a long time.
I have my license to 05, but when it comes to this repeater 610 and 79, I learned a lot over the years of people that ain't even here anymore that was on back in the day. You still there, Cody?
Yeah, I was just doing a little Googling to see if there was a video or some information on how to do the mod, and there is actually some information, so just put into Google how to do a Mars Cap mod on a Kenwood TS-2000.
You kind of broke up.
Oh, I was saying, if you put how to do a Mars Cap mod on a Kenwood TS-2000, you should be able to find the information on a Google search.
Got into that part of it. If anybody knows anything about it, let me know, because I got satellite and all this just to see what it'll give me.
Bells, he got portable 5D. Now, this here is just on the VHF downlink satellite. I've got here, and I'm just hearing it on the scanner end. to me when they come overhead. 145.880, 145.9, and there's one other, but I don't have my guide for the scan right in front of me, so I can't remember what it is. I picked that up out of QST and programmed it into the scanner, and when they get overhead, I even hear it here on an inefficient scanner antenna. But if you got a real good one of these antennas designed just for satellite work, it's circularly polarized, you should be able to get it for a little while longer.
Check it out. Yeah, I'm getting ready to put my new fan dipole up. Andy, can you tell me anything? I was wanting to do a quad fan dipole and run one southeast and west north. I wonder if it'll work.
Before I ain't got my own HF antenna here for a permanent situation yet straightened out. So, unfortunately, with that kind for HF, I've still got issues here, so I really can't give you any info on that. Not for sure, when I ain't got my own here still straightened out permanently.
I need to hook up with some elders and talk to them to see what they say.
But I would advise you, like with Ray Allison for one, even though he don't get on the net nearly as much as he used to, because he's not the net manager or net control anymore, but usually on Wednesday evening he checks in with Gary sometimes, so go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I got another question for you. So as far as ham repeaters being on satellites, are there any geostationary ham repeaters on satellites? And ones that are not, the ones that are mobile and go all over, can you hit them with a regular handheld, or do you need special antennas?
We're talking about geostationary. There was talk, I read in QST, 3 or 4 months ago, they was going to put a that kind of satellite up. Whether it's actually up yet or not, I don't know. But most of them, don't stay fixed in one place. They don't. And they just come over. Let's put it this way. Most of the satellites aren't like your satellite for TV where it's stationary in one place. They're talking about putting one up. It's like that. But whether they've got it up yet or not, I don't know yet.
I bet that would cover a huge area, depending on how high up they put it.
It can make a difference, but the fact that I pick up these here that's not like it, not geos, like at 145.880 and 145.9 here on a 2 meter downlink, just on a scanner and scanner antenna. If I had a real good antenna here and had it set up for Doppler effect, I'd hear it a lot more, but I'm just receiving it here on a scanner and an inefficient scanner antenna. That's the 2 meter downlink that I'm picking up. I've tried on the UHF here, but it's just, the UHF signals just aren't as potent as the 2 meter VHF. A lot of them, like I say, is UHF up and VHF down, and others it's in reverse.
Very, very, very interesting. I will look more into that because I don't know much about it at all, but I'd like to. There was one more, the Echolink station that's in there. I cannot remember your call. Would you like to jump back in here? I'll give you a second.
Yeah, Roger. Call is Kilo, Kilo 4, really quick operator, KK4RQO. Name is Cody, Charlie Oscar Delta Yankee, and we're down here in Cleveland, Georgia, about 100 miles away from the repeater, give or take. And I tell you what, if you look me up on QRZ, shoot me your information through my email, I'll get a hold of my buddy tomorrow, and we'll see if I can't get, we can't click her. So, what's your question?
My cell phone signal back here, for some reason dropped out for a second, but once I get my cell phone signal back here, I'll look you up on QRZ. I just looked myself up on QRZ, and my license looks like it needs to be renewed by or before August 23rd. So I have less than a month until my license needs to get renewed.
Well, keep in mind, you got the 2-year grace period, so, you know, if you miss the date, you still got a 2-year grace period, so you can, you know, I'm not going to let mine go like that, but if circumstances come up where something happened and you're just out of your control, you still have that to fall back on there.
That period is like, oh, you got 7-8 months.
So that grace period, you've got that, and you keep the license to call sign, but they don't want you to do any transmitting until you make it official again. Since I took the test, though, I know back when I took the test, you had that 2-year waiting period. I know I read in QST a while back where they want to change that, but I don't know if that's gotten around to changing it yet or not. I was hearing, what was that, Earl, you were saying it was different now?
They changed the test July. You know, me and Richard was going to take our extra class, and they done changed it.
I read in QST something where they was talking about it, but I didn't know if that actually changed it or not. What it was in the past, when it come up renewal time, you have, once the date passes, you had at that time anyway, a 2-year grace period where your license would still be good and you still have your call sign, but you couldn't transmit. Well, I figured by 15 years here later, they'd probably changed it. I know I'd read that they was talking about doing so.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I'm getting ready to build me a new mast. And I'm gonna do a fan dipole. I'm gonna do a off center dipole. My CB antenna and my scanners and my marine. You know, you always said do the marine so you can hear what's going on up there. Will the antennas conflict with each other?
HF stuff is kind of like I told you about my dilemma here that I still ain't got fixed permanently. With that, I really don't know. I really can't say. I know I've heard of other people who's had antennas on tires where they've had 2 meters, 6 meters, 70 centimeters. They can work them out, but there's a certain distance that you have to have them so that they won't interact with one another. What then that I don't have anything like that here right now, and I'm not sure when I will. I can't really answer the question. You'd have to answer some of them.
Answer my question, and that's exactly what I thought about. Yeah, you got to have them so far apart from each other. Yeah, you answered my question. So what I'll have to do when I build my new mast, I'm going to do, I'm not going with metal because, you know, lightning and all this. I'm going to do 2 16-foot 6x6s and then cut everything up to where I got my antennas wherever I need them to be. Okay, get 4HXB Friday.
JI4LZI Portal Friday. Go ahead, Cody.
Yeah, roger, roger. I'm not sure if I got in there, but KK4RQO, for those that yonder would like to hear it, I was saying, no, they shouldn't interfere with each other as long as they ain't on the same, you know, same band frequency or whatever. Because I got probably not even a foot apart. My wire is probably the farthest one apart because I could only reach up by 15, 16 foot up the tower to put it up there. But, yeah, I don't have any issues with them. And also, excuse me there, folks. Earl, you wouldn't happen to be looking for a tower, would you? Because Richard said something, because I said I might have one up for sale. Not the one that I got set up on the side of the house, but my neighbor most likely bringing one up from a friend of his. And if it wasn't for my financial obligations, I'd keep that sucker for myself, because the homemade 60-footer has a pivot plate where you can lay it over, and a crank-up mast.
You probably didn't get to hear it because of the time it takes Echolink to turn off, but he asked how much for it. This is Daniel KG for LOEZM. Also, notice that your email says something like harmonica, man. You play harmonica? I do too. I have a 64 note, 16 hole chromatic key of C that I like to play. I've gotten good at playing a lot of other keys on it as well.
I'll have to let you know. I'll have to let you know there on the tower. Make sure that got through. And, yeah, I do. I play mostly diatonics. I tried my hand at chromatic. I just couldn't really master it. I've got the Hohner, was it Super 64, I think it is. Gave like $350 for that thing or something like that. Just never could master it. So it's just, up here in the on the shelf. And then I've also got a Suzuki SU-24 tremolo harmonica and a Hohner Goliath tremolo harmonica that was made back in the 1900s. It's a little over 100 plus years old, by the way. I understand it. A lady gave it to me when I was working as a maintenance guy at Bojangles in Cleveland. So I've got that one sitting up on the headboard of my bed, and that thing sounds amazing.
That's really neat. If you ever decide to get rid of the Hohner 16-hole chromatic, let me know because I will definitely buy that from you. My Suzuki 64 got lost during a move, and I'm really sad about it. I can't find it anywhere, but yeah, it's about $300 is what the entry-level chromatic ones cost, and they go up from there. So you can pay in the thousands for them. The more you pay, the better it sounds. But wow, that's neat. You've got some really, really antique ones as well. That's neat.
You know, I would be up for selling it. I haven't tried selling it because of the health thing and all. I have played it, but, you know. But, yeah, if you'd be seriously interested in buying the thing, yeah, I'd be more than willing to sell it, you know, and have somebody who can actually make something happen with it. Because it just didn't flow with me. I do better with a 10-hole doing freestyle playing more so than that. So I'll also send you some pictures of it over text or whatever once I get your information.
We sent you an email. I forgot to send you my number, but I have an iPhone as well, so I can get pictures or text and all that. I'll send you my number, too.
Yeah. Send me your number, and like I said, I'll connect you and my buddy. His name's Nelson Cook. He's over in Virginia. I'll connect y'all together, and it is the Hohner Super 64. If you get a chance, Google that one. It's really nice. I still got all the paperwork, the polish and cloth, everything that come with it. Just never can make heads or tails of it.
Set up more like a piano than a harmonica. If you know how to play piano, you can figure it out. Just think about whole steps and half steps. It slides all the notes up a half a step when you put the slider in. It's essentially going to playing all black keys, if you will, on the keyboard. Really, really similar to that. It's set up pretty interestingly. It's four full octaves. I spend a lot of time trying to learn just how the thing worked before I attempted to play it. I drew it out in multiple different charts so that I could try to figure it out and how in the world it could play all the keys. There's really only 12 keys, but there's other, and like, those 12 keys, they have different names, so I don't know how to explain it, but basically, there's only 12 different note combinations. The way you begin each octave in your scales and stuff like that, only 12 options. So it's really complex. It's a lot to learn, but if you can learn piano, then you can learn that. It's more like piano than harmonica, really.
Just out of curiosity, Cody, when you was up here near Rocky Bottom at this bluegrass festival, when you was playing up here that time, exactly where was you up here near Rocky Bottom? I'm trying to figure out where you was at that time.
With, like, work on my tractor, maybe buy a few more diatonics. Yeah, It'd be kind of cool to get together with another fellow harmonica player, and we can kind of swap notes and see what the other one knows there.
I think you doubled with Andy Caffwell. Yeah, he was asking where you was at Rocky Bottom that time. So, I don't know what you said at first, but I think you and Andy doubled. I hate to do this. I'm going to have to pick one person. Andy, go ahead and ask him your question again. I'm just trying to prevent y'all from doubling. Go ahead and ask him your question again so that y'all don't double.
Portable body. I didn't mean to double. I just want to ask him about something I heard him telling somebody on 79 a few days ago. He was talking about he come up here to a bluegrass festival up here near Rocky Bottom, up here in Pickens County, and beat whoever this was that was doing this up here. I was just curious to know where up here that bluegrass festival was at up here when he was up here doing that.
Yeah, roger, roger, Andy. All I know is it's called Rocky Bottom Campground or something like that. It was way up in the mountains. Heck, it was so far back up in the woods, the only phone to call out was a phone in the mess hall. And it was an old corded phone. But that was back in 2013, way before I got... No, it might have been... Oh, wow. That was short time. It was in March of 2013, because I remember I got my license in, wow, I didn't realize that was that. Anyways, I got my license in, whatever, June, July, whenever it was, June. But anyways, yeah, that was an amazing story. I ain't gonna run through all the boring details of it, but I will say I got into a battle with a guy named Don. That's what he said his name was. He's a black gentleman that come up to me and said, basically, he started his intro, not, "Hi, my name's Don, what's yours? Play guitar, you know, hear you play harmonica?" No. He come up like this and said, "Hey, kid." And I turned around, kind of startled me there for a minute. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I hear you're the best harmonica player in this festival." Yeah. Polite, but I said, "Well, considering I'm the only one, yeah, I guess you can say that. I hadn't found another one yet." And he proceeds to say, "Well, I've been playing blues guitar for 5 years, and I could stomp you in the mud." And I just looked at him with this kind of this like, "Really? Okay." Well, next thing I know, before that, I told him, I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. It was almost like the devil went down to Georgia." Actually, I think that's what it was, because nobody... Well, I'll just finish the story. Okay. So, I said, whoever has the most people in their side of the room wins. If I knew what I was up against, I would have betted his guitar. But I'm kind of glad I didn't, because if it was like the devil went down to Georgia and I lost, I would be screwed. But anyways, so... A few hours later, he comes and gets me. We go into the biggest building they had. And, well, I ended up with everybody in that festival piled in on my side of the room. He only had 4 people there. And they said they were his family. And they said after he got out of earshot, he went out of the room. But before that, he said, "Man, you're really good. Can I play with your band? Blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Yeah." And I would have said, "Come show our lead guitarist what you can do, because he needs to learn to play like that to draw some more people in." Well, long story short, he never showed up to play with my band. And I asked everybody around that festival. One person said, he said he had to run off, do some business. But no one else even acknowledged they saw him. Years later, someone sends me a video of Robert Cray and Robert Cray band. I look, "Oh my God, that's the guy up there in South Carolina I battled against." Well, I thought about it for a little bit. I don't think I was Robert Cray. I think I was a demon that came in the form of Robert Cray. There was no black guy named Don up here at this festival. They're like, trust me, if there was, we would have known it because, well, he would have been the only one up here. So that's pretty much the response I got from everybody. So, yeah. If I knew back then what I knew today, I would have bet him his guitar on that challenge because I would have been sitting pretty.
Were you up at Camp Hannon or up there at the Camp of the Blind location right there?
You know, I honestly don't know. I can describe it to you, and maybe you know what, maybe you'll know where. Okay. Once you get into the main parking lot, there's a really, really, really steep driveway you can either drive up or walk up, and then there's some buildings up there, some sleeping accommodations, a couple of, like, I guess you'd say entertainment venues where you could whatever. There was an old mess hall, an old, like, a miniature golf course kind of off to the side, but I'll never forget that really steep driveway because the lead guitar singer got so drunk, I had to help him down that thing, and he was like, he could have accomplished a limbo contest for how far back he was bent. So, that's really, if I was there, I would know it, but that's all I can remember without actually seeing it again.
That definitely sounds like Camp of the Blind. That is right at the foot of Sassafras Mountain, and it's really, really steep through there. There's sections of the Sassafras Mountain Road that's 20% grade-ish, right around 20%. It's a really, really steep area.
Our communications group out up there holds exercises a lot of time up at Camp Hannon. And I've known of one or two other hams that went up there at the Camp of the Blind before. Well, I can't remember his call sign. I done forgot his call sign now, but he used to get on 610 a long time ago a lot, and he would occasionally go up there to the Camp of the Blind and check in on the 79 repeater up there every so often. So that's why I was asking about it. I kind of know about some of those areas up there.
Hey, Andy, let me ask you a question. You know, Miss Lorraine up there.
What else she got portable? Miss Lorraine from up there at the Camp of the Blind?
No, you remember Bob's up there that burnt down a few years back? Miss Lorraine, I used to go up there and sit Sunday. I'd go up there and sit with her. Good woman. I was just wondering if she's still alive.
To be honest, I can't really tell you. The last time I was up by there, they hadn't even built Bob's place back yet. Not that I'm aware of, anyway. Whether she's still alive or not, I really don't know.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, last time I was up there, they hadn't, you know, they still, some bikers go up there. They got a little thing out there that they all congregate to. But, yeah, I just wondered if she was still alive. I knew you lived right there in her back door. I just wondered if she's still with us.
Man, I really can't say on that. I know our communications group every so often, every so many years, goes up there to Camp Hannon, which is slightly above Rocky Bottom up there, just before you make the left to go into the horse pasture up there. And we conduct communications-type exercises up there, and that's just slightly up above Rocky Bottom, going up towards the state line. Earl, you know where the up there into the horse pasture is. Cody probably don't, but you know that, and then I heard Cody talking about that a few nights ago. I was just curious. No, I figured it probably was there at the Camp of the Blind when that happened at.
Yes.
That's pretty good there. Yeah, that's the only thing. We did sketchy thing, huh? Yeah. I don't think that we did Bob's place at all. As far as the bikers, what kind of bikers were you referring to? Motorcycle riders or bicycle riders? Because those groups go up there. just curious what kind of bikers. I actually do both. That's how I know about it. We bicycle ride up and down 178, and we ride motorcycles up and down 178.
Yeah, roger that. I'm talking about you bikers, you Harley riders. I got two. How many you got?
Motorcycle riders, I know a whole lot of them, but they're in the sports bike group. I don't know any Harley riders that go up and down 178. And I'm on a bicycle racing team, and we all go up there and practice on 178. As far as climbing and stuff, that's a team of like 20 people.
Yeah, me and the wife and some friends, we get on our two pedals, and we ride down to Greenville and have dinner and then ride back from Travis Rest. Good ride. Good exercise.
That sounds fun. Yeah, I go up and down the Swamp Rabbit Trail. I used to do it a whole lot more than I do now. Part of it is I've been busy, and part of it is the trail's gotten so used, especially recently now that the virus thing's going on. And for a while, when all the bars were closed, everybody just went to the Swamp Rabbit Trail and rode up and down it all the time, and it was just too crowded to use. It was ridiculous. But I love riding my bicycle on there. I like to race bicycles. I go really, really, really fast on that trail. Way too fast, but it's super fun to do that, too. It feels like racing on the highway without going that quick.
If you want to ride, let's ride down to Greenville tomorrow. Get your bicycles out. Let's ride down there. You up for it?
Sure, what time?
I don't know. It's probably good for leave probably 4 or 5 o'clock. Ride down, have dinner, and ride back. By the time you get back, it'll be dark.
I'll need to do one thing before I do that, and that is I need to go by my work and check the truck. They were supposed to put paperwork in it. I need to check the truck and find out where my next load is going to and find out how long it will take me to get there. I know I'm supposed to deliver my loads at 9 a.m. whenever I take them, so I'll have to look at that and find out what time I got to leave and what time I got to go to bed. But other than that, that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, roger that. Well, let me run it through the wife tonight or in the morning, and I can't say nothing for sure, but maybe it'd be fun. I don't know how to get in touch with you.
Cell phone number, that is 864-559-3456, and I can give it to you again in just a second if you need to go get a piece of paper or whatever. But, yeah, I'll give you my cell phone number.
Repeat.
4-559-3456. And if Cody's still in there, Cody, that's for you too. That way you can get in touch with me and send me pictures of your harmonica and stuff that you've got. ID as well. Kilo Juliet 4 Whiskey Zulu Mike KJ4 WZM. Name is Daniel.
I kind of lost you. Repeat to a call sign.
KJ4WZM, Kilo Juliet 4, Whiskey Zulu Mike.
Yeah, roger that. I got you down. Repeat, 864-559-3456, I can't see, I ain't got my glasses on. KJYWCM.
4WZM, Kilo Juliet 4, Whiskey Zulu Mike.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my Z's look like C's, so we looking good. Everything's looking good on my end. I'll give you a call tomorrow afternoon.
Good.
All right. And, I have to look, you know, you just tell me what you think it's worth there, and we'll go from there. I would at least like to get into it if you can recoup some of what I had in it, but, you know, just let me know what you think it's worth, and we'll go from there.
It was horrible just then. There we go. I just got a picture of it. Cool.
Holy crap. I didn't realize I had this thing. I actually forgot how much. Yep. 300 would be great, because I paid a little over $400. It was cheaper than that, but then I started looking them over again. Oh, my God, I paid that much for it.
Been out really, really bad tonight.
Oh, did I step on someone? What was you saying there earlier when I was doing the Googling to see exactly what them things are going for?
Yeah, I was saying Echolink is being very difficult tonight. It's, your last transmission was fine, but before that it sent in, like, just the little sound pixels of sound here and there. Entire words and phrases were missing.
How does that Echolink work? You know, I do a lot of traveling down in the Caribbeans and all down South America. So if I want to get on Echolink, how do I do it?
Well, you got two options. Maybe this will be better. I'm doing straight through my phone instead of the Bluetooth. You can either download it on your phone. Actually, that would be your only option. First you'd go install Echolink on your computer so you could register. Now, that's where you got the two options. Number one, you can give them a credit card. They'll charge $1 to the credit card just to confirm that the address on the card matches the address on your license. Or you can send them a copy of your license. I would choose the credit card route. It's just quicker and easier. Once you get that done, then you'll take your call sign and password. Once you download the app on your phone, sign into the app, and then pick the repeaters you want to check into, save them to your favorites, and then you just connect to them.
Yeah, I need to do that, so when next time I'm in the Cayman Islands, I can talk to you guys.
Did you ever know AC4IP John? He was the one I was talking about a while ago. That used to go up to the camp of the blind. And then up to the repeater, you other two, KI4LCI4.
Nanny, repeat what you said. I don't think you heard you.
Just was asking him, since he's been up there, even though he wasn't licensed just yet at the time, I was asking him if he knew John, AC4IP. He was the one that used to go up there a lot. At the camp of the blind up there, and would talk out through the 7-9 machine, and at one time was a net control here on the Briars net. And I was just wondering if Cody ever knew AC4IP John.
Negative on that. Yeah, like I said, I got licensed back in 13, around June of 13, so if I have talked to him, I wouldn't remember, so I'll just say negative.
Once he was a net control on the Briars net at one time, and he frequently went up there to the camp of the blind. And as we all know how that is at Rocky Bottom, 7-9 was the only one he could get into, and he would talk out from up there, he would, when he was up there. You three go ahead and carry on. I'm just going to go back to monitoring, or going to go ahead and probably turn my lights out and lay down and get some rest. KI4LCI portal, will y'all go ahead and carry on?
Roger, roger. Holy crap, that just... League. Yeah. Lord, I have to keep tabs on the old Rocky Bottom Bluegrass Festival and try to get back up there again. Because, man... That was one amazing time. It'd be awesome if I hooked up, if I ran into that feller, thing, whatever again. Because this time, I'll be smart in my bet and say, yeah, I bet you your guitar on that one.
Here.
Yeah, go ahead.
See, I've been playing my harmonica. I haven't finished watching it, but I'm probably going to send this to you in a second. I hope that I don't have any screw-ups in this video, but This is one of the times I picked my harmonica up. If I practice it for a week, I do really, really, really well. But this is just one of those times I randomly picked it up and did a video of it.
Don't worry about it. Just wrap it up, think about what you gotta do, and let the old harp do the rest.
I'm seeing a video, Cody. It ain't the best. Yeah, I just watched it, but it just one of those times I randomly picked my harmonica up, and I was like, oh, I'll just take a video of it. So I don't really have a lot of those videos at all, because I didn't do that much, but I used to play a whole lot more than I have in a long, long, long time, but I learned that stuff. I taught myself harmonica when I was a kid, so that's where that came from.
Roger, roger. Yeah, I'll check it out here in a minute, and my background's kind of interesting. It's kind of funny you say you taught yourself. That's pretty much how I learned it. I'm legally blind, and we used to do a few... food ministry, back in the 90s sometimes, but anyways, ended up becoming real good friends with a fellow by the name of Clyde Swanson. He had polio, got it from taking a vaccine back in the 30s, anyways, and he could play pretty good too. His was more just, you know, sitting on the front porch playing O Susanna or, Amazing Grace, just little pieces like that. And one day, I was about 7 or 8 years old, and he gave me a Hohner Blues harp. I've still got it somewhere around here, but anyways, in a key of E. I goofed around with it, annoyed the snot out of my brother, my parents, and everyone else. Because I didn't really know what to do with the thing. And one day, when I was about 15, I guess it was, I was looking for something in our shed and found it again, because we moved from coming up here to Cleveland. And, so, I found a thing. I started goofing around with it. Excuse me there. So, my mom run out to Lowe's to get some OSB board and some other stuff for a remodel he was doing in the house. And I said, hey, can you run by Crazy Al's? That was the name of the music store. The only music store that's close to us up here. Shame they went out of business, because now I have to order everything through the mail. But anyway, I asked her if she could go by there and pick up a book on how to play harmonica. And she did, and brought it home to me, and I said, okay. And I started goofing around with it. Still couldn't make nothing of it. And I was getting madder and madder, because I was like, I got this thing, and I want to do something with it. So I just happened to look at the corner of the book, and it said key of C. And I'm like, key of C? So I looked over at the harp, and I'm like, ooh, duh, the red truck, that would explain it. Now, I played trumpet before I got into the harp, so I had some musical background. But anyway, so when I turned 16, Mom's like, well, what do you want for your birthday? I said, I want to go get a nice C harp so I can figure out how to do this stuff. So I got that, and I got a DVD. I watched that thing for about 2.5 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I threw the book, I threw the DVD in the trash, and said, that's it. And I've been playing the thing ever since.
I grew up playing violin, and I started playing when I was 6 or 7. I stopped around the time I was 8 or 9, somewhere between ages 10 and 12, when the neighbors down the street from me had a yard sale. And I found a harmonica down there that they were selling for $1. It was a key of C harmonica, and I don't remember who made it. It wasn't any fancy name at all. It was some basic dime store harmonica. So I know that the first song I ever learned how to play on violin is Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and I figured, well, I will figure out how to make those notes come out of that harmonica somehow. So I inhaled and exhaled and all that, and on a 10-hole harmonica, you know how halfway through around 5 or 6, I have it all in muscle memory now, so I don't even have to look at it, but the notes flip, and they're not flipped in a chromatic harmonica, but for some reason around notes 5 or 6, the notes flip around. so I can learn a little bit. And then holes 9 and 10 is also interesting. 1 and 2 is interesting. 5 and 6 and 9 and 10 are pretty interesting because the notes shift a little bit on a 10-hole harmonica for some inexplicable reason. I'm not really certain, but they do. Anyway, so I played around on that, and I taught myself from that. Never had a book, never had a DVD, never really read music and played. I just made the right notes come out of the right holes, and that's all there was to that.
Yep. Well, the harmonica tablature is pretty cut and dry. You either have a plus and minus system or an arrow system. That's about it. There's nothing really too complex on the sheet music for it, but I tell you something else that was funny. It probably wasn't a month. No, it might have been longer than that. Nah, hang on just a second. Anyhow, I had a big old yawn there, but anyways, it probably was maybe about 2 or 3 months later. There's an interesting story tied between my official set and that first harmonica. I was joints with the neighbor's daughter. She was a horse girl, so of course, me being into the cattle farming thing, I knew a few tricks of how to go work with livestock, and crazy livestock at that. Our cows weren't crazy, but I knew a few tricks of how to calm them from working with, you know, getting cows from one pasture to another. So I was down there helping her out with this one horse that had a big gash in its leg, and she's like, I'm going to go get some stuff to clean its wound out. Just hold him there, and I'll be right back. It's okay. He starts throwing his head. I'm like, nope, I ain't have no part of that. So I kind of tied the lead, kind of, you know, wrapped it a couple of wraps around my hand. Stupid idea at the time, but hey, it worked the last time I had livestock do that. So I could get a good grip on the lead, and I went, reminded him real quick who was boss. Big mistake. Wasn't because I probably snapped the lead to remind him, hey, stop doing that. It's probably because there were some flies started swarming around that wound. He started, like, rodeo kicking, bucking. I ended up under that thing, and he probably weighed about almost 2,000 pounds. I mean, he was a big old boy. Well, once I got out from under that thing, he stepped all over me, and I just stood there looking around and like, you need to sit down, Cody. Let's check, make sure you ain't hurt, nothing broke, you ain't got a concussion, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no joke. If my harp is broke, if my phone is broke, y'all gonna be replacing it with a complete set. Well, I pulled it out. It had gravel in it. The case was shattered. It had a hoof print in the middle of it. Brand, Honer, model, Special 20. So, anyways, it had a hoof print in the middle of it. Now, you're probably thinking it was destroyed. Nope. I took it, slapped it against my hand, knocked out what few pieces of whatever was in it in there. Might have been plastic shrapnel from the case. It still played, just like it did when I got it out of Crazy Al's. I called Honer up, the follow member. I called him up. I said, y'all got a bomb-proof harmonica. And they said, what do you mean? And I told them the story, and they just couldn't believe it. Sent them a pick, take apart to clean the crud out from, you know, the holes and whatever. When I did that, that's when it gave up the ghost. Well, got a set of Lee Oscars in. Excuse me there, got a set of Lee Oscar harmonicas in, and went to a barbecue, a local barbecue, and I thought I'd show that my neighbor's grandson, Trent Allison. Now, this boy could play anything with strings. I mean, he could pretty much play anything you want to stick in front of him. He was good. So I was going to show him some of the stuff, and I was showing a couple other folks around what I could do, what I learned. Well, Stuart Stovall, he's one of our neighbors, and Don Allison, he was the president of the local bank. They grabbed me, and they hustled me on in to where the band was playing. They get me up on stage, and Gerald Allison, lead guitarist of that band, he just says, Cody, we're in key of D. And I'm just standing there looking at everybody pretty much piled in to see what was going on. I was looking around like, okay, start playing, okay. Took me a minute to get it, but once I got it, I let that thing rip, and that's all it took. I started training myself to where now I can walk in pretty much anywhere and tell the person, say, you just tell me what key and tell me what kind of emotion effect you want in this song, and I can take it from there.